السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the ayat of Surah Luqman, the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son, and we are on the ayat referring to manners, referring to akhlaq. As I have been saying, we said in the last Juma, manners, if it is to be defined, it is simply, you can define manners in one word, which is consideration. Being considerate about other people. The one word definition for the one word of manners is consideration. Manners is not formality, manners is not takalluf, manners is not some ritual way of doing something. Manners is just being considerate about other people. Somebody sent me most of the videos that I get on WhatsApp die a very quick death. I don't watch them, I delete them. But once in a while, there are one or two people who, when they send me something, I always watch it. So, and one of them sent me this video of this man in Japan telling people, he says, why is it that in Japan, services and so on and so forth are at the highest quality level, which is, known worldwide. And he said, it's for only one reason, which is consideration. We are a culture which is taught to be considerate to other people. And so we do things differently from other. We are very concerned about my action, what effect does it have on somebody else. Which includes, he said, for example, you go and buy something, you feel like a king, because the one who serves you, he will bow to you, he will give you the thing, and when you take it, he bows to you again. So this is the respect he is showing to the customer when he buys something from the customer. Issue of doing something for the benefit of the other person. A friend of mine said to me, he told me this, his own story. He said he went to Japan the first time he went there, and he obviously doesn't know Japanese and so on. So he went to the railway station. He wanted to go somewhere and see something. So he was talking to the clerk at the ticket counter. The ticket counter, the clerk suggested to him an itinerary. He said, go from this place to this place to this place. This man said, fine, give me the tickets for that. So he gave him the tickets. Then he took a card, and on this card, he wrote out this routing. And then he turned the card the other way around and wrote out the routing in Japanese. And he said, if you get lost anywhere, then show them this is the most. People don't speak English, so show them the routing in Japanese and then they will tell you which train to get where and so on and so on. So my friend said, I was absolutely, fantastically impressed by this. And this is a regular clerk in the railway station. So he said, there was still some time for my train. So he said, I went and there were some chairs and so on, some places to sit. So I went and sat down. He said, I had been sitting there for about maybe 5 minutes or maybe a bit more. When somebody tapped me on the shoulder, I turned around, it's the same clerk. And he's got a card with him, which is already written out. He said, give me the card I gave you. He gave it. He said, use this one. He said, I have made a different routing, which is a better routing for you. And here is the ticket for that. I changed it, cost the same. And here is the card for you to go forward. Now imagine, unimaginable. Here is a clerk, he sold you a ticket, as far as he is concerned, you are, gone. I mean, who cares? But not only does the person care, but he takes the trouble to go and rewrite the thing and show it to you and so on and so on. There's a wonderful video of people cleaning, the cleaners of trains. How quickly they clean the trains, and the most impressive thing about the video is that once the train is cleaned, they all stand in a line on the platform, and when the train is leaving, they bow. It's the issue of consideration for other people, issue of why do you take pride in excellence in your work, because you are concerned about how somebody else sees that and how they are affected by that. And that is the whole issue of manners. And this is what Islam is supposed to teach us. Now, one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the great ahadith which are there, and I mentioned to you some of the ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya yuhannas afshu salam." He said, "Oh people, spread the salam." And then he said, "Feed the people, and stand in the night and pray when other people are sleeping. If you do these three things," he said, "Jannah will be easy for you." We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to inculcate these qualities amongst us. Now, from the advice of Sheikh Muhammad Salih Al-Munajjid on the subject of giving and returning salam, he quotes from Ibn Rajab, who said in Al-Fath, the hadith makes a connection between feeding others and spreading salam, because this combines good actions in both word and deed, which is perfect good treatment, which is ihsan. Indeed, this is the best thing that you can do in Islam after the faraid, after the obligatory duties. What is meant by salam? And this is from Al-Qadi, and you will get all these references when you get the text. What is meant by salam is the greeting between people, which sows seeds of love and friendship in their heart, as does feeding people. There may be some weakness in the heart of one of them which is dispelled when he or she is greeted, as there may be some hostility which is turned to friendship by the greeting. Many times people ask this question, can I say assalamu alaikum to a non-Muslim? So my answer is very simple. My answer is that this question arises because you don't greet that non-Muslim first. Right. So he said salam alaikum to you, and the question that is asked is, can I reply by saying wa alaikum assalam? So the first part of the thing is that you got yourself into that situation because you didn't greet him first. If you had said good morning or sabah al khair or whatever it was, then you would not be in this situation in the first place. So it is your lack of manners that ended up putting yourself into a situation. Now you want to look for a fatwa on what to do, right? So number one, so greet people first. Number two is, and this is purely my understanding, this is not a fatwa, this is not, I'm not giving you an Islamic representation or interpretation. This is my understanding of the answer that is usually given. Where people say, if a non-Muslim says, assalamu alaikum, say wa alaikum. Now, simple understanding of Arabic. He said, peace be on you. And what is the meaning of alaikum? And on you. So, and on you what? You're not saying, wa alaikum la'anat. You're not saying, may la'anat be on you. No. He said, peace be on you, and you are saying, and on you. So, what does it mean? It means, wa alaikum assalam. As far as I'm concerned, I don't understand. If somebody can explain to me what is the difference between saying, wa alaikum, and saying, wa alaikum assalam, I'll be more than happy to understand that. But, therefore, to put this as something which is haram, to say, salam to somebody who is non-Muslim, I personally completely disagree with this. I don't think that is the intention of the issue of salam. And then, as I said, if you are so particular about this, then save yourself and simply say good morning or whatever it is first. Be the first to greet, and then the person will greet you, in the way that you greeted him or her, and your masala is resolved. So the whole issue of good manners is very simple, and as I said, it is, you can condense it into one word, which is consideration. Now, another Al-Qadi in Iqmal al-Mu'allim, he says here, meaning in this particular hadith of spreading salam, Rasulullah was urging the Muslims to soften their hearts. The best Islamic attitude is to love one another and greet one another, and this is achieved by words and deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ urged the Muslims to foster love between one another by exchanging gifts and food and by spreading salam, and he forbade the opposite, namely forsaking one another, turning away from one another, spying on one another, seeking out information about one another, stirring up trouble, and being two-faced. Now there goes our entire social life, right? So seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. I mean, If I can't backbite, I can't slander, I can't spy, I can't... what do I do in my dawat sense? You know, all my social life has gone down the drain. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent it down the drain. Seriously, let us ask ourselves. This is what we have become. We have become people. We do the exact opposite. And then we say, you know, what is the secret? Somehow one of my good friends, he sent me this thing. He was on a holiday somewhere, nice exotic place and so on. I think he probably felt guilty being there. So he sent me this message saying, Yavar bhai, Musalman ek kaise ho sakte hain? So I told him, Tumko kya ho gaya? Achche khase the, what's wrong with you? Suddenly what happened to you? You know, which mosquito bit you or something? So I said, where are you? He said, I'm in Latin America. I said, okay, now I understand, because you're feeling guilty about your holiday. I said, enjoy your holiday. Maza karke aao. So my point is that Musalman ek kaise ho sakte by stopping ghibat and slander and backbiting and spying on one another and so on, spreading salam and feeding people and giving gifts. What is the rocket science? What is the great secret? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us this 1400 years ago. You don't want to do it, and then you say, how can people be to become together? And the moment we think, first thing we think about is aqidah, right? Should I go to a dargah or not? Forget a dargah. First say salam, no? Whether you go to the dargah, you don't go to the, talk to people nicely. Speak to people with a smile on your face. Don't look like death warmed up or something. You know, I mean, this is the, what's the great mystery in this whole thing? But this is the problem. The problem is that we needlessly complicate our life, and then we suffer from that, because I mean, who else is suffering? We are the ones. We are spread all over. We are broken all over. All the problem. I take, for example, Alhamdulillah, may Allah and make a lot of dua for this masjid. From day one, we have said that this is the house of Allah. Everyone, irrespective of which mazhab, irrespective of Shia or Sunni, irrespective of Salafi or Hanafi, everyone is most welcome to please come and worship and pray in this masjid. We have said this from day one. Alhamdulillah, all of you have supported that. And this is how we continue and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this masjid safe from all fitan and from all forms of divisions and so on. And stand up for it if you ever see it. It's not my responsibility, believe me. It is your responsibility and my responsibility. Anytime anyone hears any divisive word, anyone sees any divisive activity, stand up against it. And say, sorry, not here. Out. You want to talk like this? Get out. Not in this masjid. Make it very clear. This is the, Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah ﷺ brought one deen. And as far as somebody is saying, as long as somebody is saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he is most welcome here. If somebody is not even saying that, that person is also welcome here, because if he wants to come here to learn about Islam, where do you want him to go? To Inorbit Mall? I mean, so we have welcomed and we continue to welcome. We have had many instances where Hindus come here, Christians come here, people come from, you know, all sorts of official places, they all come. We say, most welcome. And that is how the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. I am not creating anything new here. Please understand, absolutely nothing new. We are simply following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed everybody. When the non-Muslims came, delegations came to meet him, where did they stay? You and I are talking about praying two rakat of salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to live in the masjid. Food for them used to go from the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those people stayed in the masjid, they slept in the masjid, they ate in the masjid. The food they ate was the food from the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have created all of these divisions. This one cannot enter, that one cannot enter. We actually see boards on the masajid. Masjid of this particular jamaat. And so not welcome. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. When that masjid is no longer the house of Allah, in which case, as far as I am concerned, it is not a masjid anymore. It is your firqa, you know, headquarters, and you are welcome to that. It cannot be called a masjid anymore. It is haram to call something a masjid and then restrict it to one jamaat or this jamaat, and so and so cannot come and so and so cannot come. This is not from Islam, please. This is not from Islam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself welcomed even the non-Muslims into his masjid, who are you or I to restrict people? people from coming into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make up your mind, it is either the house of Allah or it is your house. If it is your house, you have a right to welcome or not to welcome. Most problem, no problem. But don't call it the house of Allah. It's not the house of Allah. But if it is the house of Allah, then every Abdullah is welcome. Every Amatullah is welcome. Every creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man or woman, is welcome in that masjid. I'm not saying they are welcome to come and lead salah or to give khutbah. No. They are welcome to come and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can stop them, and if somebody is stopping them, they are going completely and totally against Islam. There is nothing in the seerah or the sunnah, there is nothing in the Quran to say that people must not be allowed to come and pray in the masajid of Allah. My brothers and sisters, love is one of the duties of Islam and one of the pillars of the Islamic system. One should give salam to the one whom you know and to those who you do not know out of sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should not try to impress other people by giving salam only to those you know and to nobody else. This also entails an attitude of humility and spreading the symbols of the ummah through the word salam. It is because we don't give salam that we, especially in this country, we have got into a situation where people are, Muslims are hesitant to say salam alaikum to another Muslim. Especially in official positions. People do not say salam alaikum to one another. There's no prohibition. I mean, if the law of the land does not prohibit you from saying salam alaikum. But we bring it on ourselves because we are not used to giving salam. So very, very important. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that salam spreads love and brotherhood. The hadith in Muslim and Tirmidhi and elsewhere, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. And then he said, shall I not tell you about something which if you do it, you will love one another? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. He said, spread salam amongst yourself. Now, Qadi Al-Iyad, one of the great jurists of Islam, he said that this hadith is urging us to spread salam, as mentioned above, among those whom we know and those whom we do not know. Now, in the understanding of this term, those you know and those you do not know, and also in the ayat of the Quran, there are several places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to those who are near and those who are far. The understanding is those who are near means Muslim, those who are far means non-Muslim. Those you know meaning Muslim, those you do not know meaning non-Muslim. That is the allegorical meaning of this. So Qadi Al-Iyad says, this is urging us to spread salam as mentioned above among those whom we know and those whom we do not know. Salam is the first level of righteousness, the first quality of brotherhood, and it is the key to creating love. By spreading salam, Muslims' love for one another grows stronger, and they demonstrate their distinctive symbols and they spread a feeling of security amongst themselves. And this is the meaning of salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also explained the reward earned by the one who says salam first, as reported by An-Nasai and also in Bukhari and other places, in Ibn Hibban. They reported from Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu that a man passed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with some other people, and he said salam alaikum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, and then he said he will have 10 hasanat. Another man came and he said salam alaikum wa rahmatullah, and Rasulullah replied and he said he will have 20 hasanat. And another man passed by and said salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Rasulullah replied and he said he will have 30 hasanat. So don't be stingy in giving salam. Alright, so give the full salam, give the full salam, which is salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then you reply also. Don't just say walaikum salam. Don't be stingy in replying the salam. Reply the full salam. Rasulullah commanded us to return the salam. And he made it a right and a duty. in a hadith, in the hadith which is mentioned in Musnad Imam Ahmad, in Bukhari, in Muslim, Nasai, Abu Dawud, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported and said, the Muslim has five rights over his fellow Muslim. He should return his salam. He should visit him when he is sick. He should attend his funeral. He should accept his invitation and pray for mercy for him. Now see the all of these things, very simple things, but so important in terms of the building of a community. The whole issue of Islam and how Islam spread from Medina, much more than from Makkah, was that Medina was the place where the Muslim community was built, where the Ummah was created. The actual system of brotherhood that Rasulullah ﷺ created, a brotherhood of faith, a brotherhood based on common faith, which is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Not a brotherhood based on tribe or nationality or color or any other means of coming together. A brotherhood based on faith. This happened in Medina, and that was the secret of the spread of Islam all over the Arabian Peninsula in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ, and then later on elsewhere. And all of this is based on these things. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave these five things, which is five rights: return the salam, visit when he is sick, attend his funeral, accept his invitation, and pray for mercy for him. And here in this case it says when he sneezes, meaning Yarhamakallah, when he says Alhamdulillah, you say Yarhamakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. So praying for mercy even in something as small as the person sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, you say Yarhamakallah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that if Muslims are ignoring, if they ignore and forsake, which is leave one another, this will put an this will be put to an end when one of them gives the salam. So if somebody has not greeted you, not done something, you be the first one to say salam alaikum to that person, because this is the whole issue of ego. You know, you don't want to do it because you feel somehow I will become small. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying the opposite. He's saying Allah will be pleased with you. So you be the first one to say salam. Other thing which happens also, especially in our culture, where elders do not take precedence in greeting youngsters and saying salam alaikum. Right? Because we have been brought up to say that youngsters must first greet the elders. Nothing wrong with that. Of course, they should do that. They should greet the elders. But for elders to take it on the other side to say, I will not greet the youngster, I will not say salam alaikum unless he tells me first, is ridiculous, because salam is dua. Now, whose right is it to receive dua? The elder or the younger one? And whose right is it, whose duty is it to give dua? The elder one or the younger one? I mean, very simple, right? So, it's the job of the elders to give dua to the youngsters. So take precedence in that, say salamu alaikum, and you will find that when you do that and you get a reputation for doing that, the youngsters will literally, they will lie in wait for you. I mean, they will be hiding behind pillars or something, and suddenly they'll pop out and say salamu alaikum before you could say it to them. Because they make it into a sort of matter of pride for them, I have to say it first. But how did that happen? Because you took precedence and you you were proactive in giving salam, because that is your, it is the mantle of honor that comes with being an elder. It's not just taking, it's a question of giving. You give dua to people, you be nice to people. This is the whole issue of being an elder person. I want to end with the hadith in Bukhari that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari narrated from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, it's not permissible for a Muslim to forsake, meaning to leave his brother, for more than 3 days, each of them turning away from the other if they meet. So it's not permissible for a Muslim to leave another Muslim, not talk to him, turn away from him for more than 3 days. The better of them is the first one to say salam. So even if it happens, even if there is some problem by which you feel that you do not want to talk to somebody, meet somebody, minimum at least say salam. I'm not saying go and, you know, find them every day and say salam. I mean, that's a different issue. But the point is that at least once say salam to that person, because this is what removes the rancor from the heart. Now, many times people say, well, if I say salam and that person does not respond. And this also refers to apologizing for something you may have done. And you say, well, no, I apologize, but the other person doesn't forgive me. They asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the same question. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your responsibility is over once you have apologized. Your responsibility is over once you have said salam. If that person does not reply to you, then the sin is on that person's head. And if that person does not forgive you, then that is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as you are concerned, you are inshallah absolved from that responsibility. So let us try to make sure we do that. Now, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to help us all to develop manners which will draw people to us, which will draw people to us. This is very, very important. People are attracted to us not by anything other than our manners, because our manners are the only thing which affect them. The rest of it is, you know, the kind of shirt you wear, the kind of car you drive, who cares? Nobody cares. At the most, if there are people who really love you that much, they say, oh, mashallah, very good. Most people will be jealous of you. You know. So the point is that what people really appreciate is manners, is people being nice to one another, is people being kind and considerate and good manners. I think that is something which is very, very important to develop in ourselves and in our children. And talking about children, the whole issue is children listen with their eyes, not with the ears. And this applies also to everyone else. I mean, people also listen with their eyes. They don't listen with the ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. And therefore, if we want good manners to be inculcated, we have to start with ourselves. And that's how they will get inculcated in other people. If they see you doing the right thing, then people will respond also in a like manner. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to accept your coming. We ask Allah to grant you that special time in Jummah to make the dua where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there is a sa'a in Jummah where a person makes dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you this sa'a in Jummah that you make the duas which you want, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to grant you those duas with afia and with khair, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.